All right, well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to try out number one here. So if you're able and willing, we'll stand and we'll sing, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place."
Thank you. read a prayer letter from Brother McFall and also from Robin and Hannah Reno. Brother McFall's over in Kyrgyzstan. He says, the new year's up and running. The last day of vacation for the children, or for school for children, is today. Monday the 10th, they will be back in school. This means that I have to start driving to town every day again. The good thing is that the holidays are over. Such a busy time of the year. Well, I thought things would slow down some and we'd get back to some kind of norm. This thought did not last long. There has been some unrest in our neighboring country of Kazakhstan. This has turned into a full-blown battle, and some countries are sending soldiers in to help the government. All the major cities but the capital have fallen. This will and has affected us. A lot of our produce comes from either Kazakhstan or other countries, and some prices have already gone up and others are expected to go up. Of course, the government says that there are a lot of terrorists involved, so when the president gave the order to shoot to kill, the world population does not think he is killing his own people. There may be some terrorists, but most are citizens that are upset with a dictatorship and want a lifelong president to leave. There is such anger in the world today. It does not matter where you look, there is anger. It seems like there is not one country that is not experiencing trouble. No matter where you look, things are bad and going to get worse. As a child of God, one can easily be discouraged if he keeps his eyes on the world. Churches are dropping in numbers. Lost souls are getting more and more hardened to the gospel. Everything is going wrong. But as a child of God, knowing the God of hope, we can still be filled with the joy and peace. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God is our hope when things are good. This is joy. God is our hope when things are bad. That is peace. We can have this joy and peace only in believing in the God of hope. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, we can abound in this hope. It does not matter, come what may, if we have Christ as our Savior, we can have joy and peace. Knowing that God is still in control, we, as children of God, can say, everything is going wrong, just right. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Our Father is in full control. Jesus came the first time as a lamb. He shall come again as a lion. I get so excited when seeing all that is going on in the world, knowing that we are close to the rapture of the church, so close to seeing our Lord face to face. Then I start thinking about many souls that are not saved, not prepared to meet Christ, and this brings the corners of my smile down. Please join us in praying for the children we have that have not accepted Christ, praying for many which are close to us, that we know which are not ready to meet Christ. And we will be praying for those who are close to you as well. So many families and friends that are not saved, let's put our foot to our prayers in 2022, not just praying for loss, but winning the loss. Mediocre Christianity will not carry us through the storms ahead. It is time we stop putting God on our agenda and make Him our agenda. Folks, I need your prayers, and I'm praying for you as well. Brother Allen, so please keep him in prayer over there. And then Robin and Hannah wrote, dear praying fans, friends, thank you for praying for our Christmas bag project. We are so thankful for how the Lord provided for every detail this year. Number one, the offerings were abundantly above what we had received up to this point, and they came in early, which allowed us to buy things on sale early in the year and have most of our supplies gathered by early November. Number two, we were blessed to have more helpers this year with the assembly process. One of the first steps was for the pencil cases to be put together. Different ladies from the church in Salinas took them home, assembling 1,900 in just 1 week. Most Thursday afternoons, we had 10 or more people working together to get these kits ready. We were able to distribute over 2,500 kits this year, some in schools, other in neighborhoods and villages. By partnering with others who have outreaches in areas we don't work in, we were able to take bags to 17 different municipalities or small counties. So I want to say one of the first days we headed to the Parabas area to give out bags where we found an open door. As we drove through the village of Carrizo, we saw this school open and on a whim decided to stop and offer bags for their students. To our surprise, we found all the teachers and administrators gathered for a breakfast together. They were so excited to receive the bags for their children and invite us to have breakfast together with them. Several years ago, we had asked to use this very same school for VBS, but did not receive permission by our start date. We have been closed. What had been a closed door may be opening for future ministry opportunities. For years, we have driven by a school on the way to and from Belem, and often commented that one year we would get there with the Christmas bags. We determined that this was the year and planned to stop there one day when we were going by there anyway. To our disappointment, we found the school locked up tight and no one around to ask where we might find a teacher. We drove on to the next school and were welcomed warmly. In conversation, we mentioned that we had tried to stop at the first school, and even though the two schools are in different districts, one lady was able to tell us that the first school was closed because the main teacher had gone into the state capitol that day. We were encouraged to try to leave the kids with the teacher's mother-in-law and given directions to find the right house. When we got to the house, after stopping and asking for more directions, we found the mother-in-law was not there, but the lady who did come to the door was willing to keep the kids and get them to the teacher. Would this really work? Would the children of that village really receive the bags? We decided to try and just ask that they send pictures when they got the kids to the children. To our delight, we received pictures from the teacher on December 23rd as we were ready to board our first flight back to the U.S. This year, we included a bookmark and the kits that encourage people to get back in contact with us if they would like further Bible studies. One of the most precious things has been to receive messages from unknown numbers saying, "I want to study." Pray for us as we follow up on these contacts when we return. Some are in Salinas and others in villages. We will also be taking the devotionals around and renewing contacts. We enjoyed being with the family during the holiday season. Thank you for your prayers and support through 2021. Happy New Year, and our hearts to you are to yours. Love and Him, Robin and Hannah Reno.
Song here. We're going to sing page 361, Lily of the Valley. If you're willing and able, please stand. We'll sing 361.
See the Hellies here? Our first-time visitors. No, it's a blessing. I'm glad that they're doing better to be able to come out to church. A lot of going through it. And it seems like it is statewide. I talked to an individual today. They said they knew over 200 people that they had contacts with that have been sick or were sick. It just seems like it's sweeping across the country. We're glad that we could be in church tonight and open up the Word of God. I'm going to finish up this study here with the mind. You want to take your Bible, look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And verse number 1, you know, Peter had gone through in chapter 1 talking about giving heed to these things, and he talked about virtue and faith and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness and charity. He talked about how these things be in you. You need to be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to talk about put these things in remembrance, and he mentions that numerous times. And then he goes on to talk about false teachers, false prophets, and how we need to be aware or wise. And then he goes into chapter number 3, verse number 1. He says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." I don't know how many times he said the remembrance in his book, but it's quite a few times he says to remember or remembrance. And if you read verse number 2, it says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening. Thank you for bringing us here safely. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we could sing these songs to you. And Lord, I pray you just be with the missionaries out there on the field, dear God. I thank Hannah and Robin, Lord, and Brother Alan and his family, and just the kids over there in that orphanage. I pray, God, you'd strengthen and encourage all of them this evening. Watch over them, dear God, and keep them safe. And Lord, just give us what we need now, Lord. I pray, God, you just give me the thoughts, the direction, and guidance, and help us as we look at your word to receive help. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So that is one sentence from chapter 3, verse 1, all the way down to verse number 4 is one sentence, one continual sentence. And he talks about there in verse 1 about stirring up your pure minds, stirring up your pure minds. And the last couple of weeks that I have been here, we've been looking at different things in the Bible concerning a worldly mind, a troubled mind, and then also a Christ-like mind. We have the ability now that we're saved to have a mind as Christ. The ability's there. Now, you can also walk in a carnal mind, or you can go walk in a mind of your own thinking and reasonings on things. So just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're automatically going to do things as the Lord would have you to do things. You still have a choice and a decision to make in that matter. Okay? It's not automatic. And that's why Peter, I believe, here, Peter says, "Listen, I'm trying to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance so that, listen, you're going to know that false teachers are in the world. False prophets." What we're going through on Sunday night about individuals saying that the church is going to go through the tribulation, that's something that really quickly can steal your joy. All right? I know at the end part of there, 1 Thessalonians 4, it says comfort one of these words with these words. You start reading through Revelation, that will quickly steal your joy. When you got scorpion-like things coming up out of the pit that can hurt everybody but the 144,000, which means as if church is here, they can hurt the church. So that's a lot of fear that could be there. So Peter says, "I'm trying to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Now, a couple weeks ago, we looked at a willing mind. First, having a willing mind, real quick, take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, just to read the scripture real quick. A willing mind. A willing mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 12. Paul says here, he says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not." And it's talking about offerings and giving things to those in need. But he says, first there has to be a willing mind. we're not Calvinistic. What I mean by that is sometimes I think we just expect God to do things because we're saved. No, God expects us to do our part, and when we do our part, He'll do His part. And I heard a preacher talking about this week, you know, individuals want help, and I've had some people sending some texts to myself and to my wife that aren't members of the church, yet they're struggling with things, yet they, as far as I know, they'd have been in church once or twice in the last 3 or 4 months. You're not going to get the help you need unless you come to church. It's just not going to happen. We need church to edify and encourage one another, but also to grow in the things of God, and that the Holy Spirit would help us. So you got to have a ready mind, lowly, humbled, renewed, sound, same mind. But tonight I want to look at this last one here, of a mind that's girded up. Take your Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. All right? The Bible says here in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, Peter says here something very important. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Okay, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Why? Verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but look, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We weren't redeemed by gold or silver. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Peter says before today, he says, wherefore, with what he listed in the first 12 verses, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." Gird up the loins of your mind. When you're getting ready, if you're out working in a garden or in a field, and you're getting ready to do some work to where it causes you, you're going to have to bend over some, when you gird up your loins, you pull your pants up, you pull, because you're getting ready to do some work. You're girding yourself up. You're girding your loins up, or you're britches or whatever you're wearing up, because you don't want them to inhibit you as what you're getting ready to work. And Peter's here referenced that to your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready and realize, especially as we go further on, it's going to be more of a mind battle and a mind game. All right? You read about some individuals that were POWs over in Vietnam. Not only did they have to deal with physical pain, but I think one of the hardest things they had to deal with was the mental torture. The mind. Messing with the mind. Okay? And just as a physical enemy would want to do that to their captors, our spiritual enemy would desire to mess with our mind. To mess with our mind. To put thoughts in our mind. To trouble us in our mind, because then that steals away the power that we have through Jesus Christ and the ability we have to live for Him a holy life that's acceptable unto Him. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. How do you gird up your loins of your mind? Well, it depends on what you spend your time with, what you're feeding your mind, what you're allowing to come into your mind. Look what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says. And you're going to see, I'm going to try to connect some things together. I haven't written the scriptures up here, but I'm going to try to connect some things together this evening, referring back to the ability to gird up the loins of our mind. How do we go about, how do we go about girding up our loins in our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Do you see that? Now, these are very familiar verses. I believe everybody in this room knows these verses, probably has these verses memorized. That's all good and fine unless it does no good for us unless we put them into practice then. It's good to have memorized. But look what the Bible says, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Well, what does the word conformed mean? It means made to resemble, reduced to the likeness of, or made agreeable to. So the Bible's saying here, don't be conformed to this world. Do you, in the way you live, resemble how the world lives? I'm not talking about how your house looks, or not even necessarily how you dress. I'm not talking about what kind of pictures you might have up on your wall, or what kind of car you drive, because all those things can be very similar to what the world has. I'm talking about your reaction to things. Are your reactions and how you handle news and how you handle situations, is it just the same as the same way the world would handle if they received that same news, if they received that same trouble, if they received that same trial that they're going through? Are you conformed to be just like them? Do you act just like them? I believe that's what the Bible's talking about here in Romans chapter 2. Be not conformed to this world. Don't react like the world reacts. I'm telling you, I think our country has a rude awakening coming. A rude awakening coming. Somebody was telling me the other day that on this forum that they're seeing, that people were throwing a fit, I think here in Caddy, on how they plowed the roads and whether to put salt down or not, and were arguing over it. Like spoiled brats. If you have a problem and can't handle how they plow the roads and salt it, how are you going to handle when something really bad happens? Like no groceries. We're not going to be able to handle it. Our society will not be able to handle if something really bad happened. Really bad. Why? Number one, most of society is not saved. But a sad thing is that most Christians are just like the world. There's no difference. There is no difference. Other than they might name the name of Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Well, that's good. But does your life reflect it? Does it make sense? Does your life reflect what you claim? Paul says, be not conformed to this world. But then he says this next. But be ye transformed. How? Look what it says. By the renewing of your mind. How gird up the loins of your mind? You allow your mind to be renewed. You allow your mind to be transformed. How is your mind transformed? How is it renewed? But by the word of God and prayer. And fellowship with fellow believers. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed means changed in form or external appearance. A transformed and renewed mind. For what purpose, Paul? Why do we want a transformed and renewed mind? That ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some people think that they're in the will of God, yet they haven't had their mind transformed and renewed. Thus, I may have to question whether it's the will of God or not. Because what precedes being able to do the will of God? A renewed and a transformed mind. A mind that's not conformed to this world, but a mind that is conformed to the likeness and ways of Jesus Christ. Do you see? Well, I'm doing the will of God, but everything else in your life shows just the opposite of that. You can't know the hearts of individuals, but you can sure scratch your head sometimes and wonder, I hear what you're saying. I really do hear what you're saying, but the actions don't match what you're saying. A conformed mind, a transformed mind, and a renewed mind to the ways of Jesus Christ. Now look what it, gird up the loins of your mind, have your mind transformed and renewed, and link that together over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 because it goes right along with what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This says the exact same thing, the same principles that are found in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look what he says next. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Affairs. The ways of the world. What the world is going after. What the world thinks. How the world is handling things. Too many Christians are entangled. They're entangled in things I believe the Bible does not desire for us to be entangled in. And it's causing despair. It's causing anger. It's causing outrage and outbursts that are just the way the world thinks and handles situations. Now, I pray you understand what I said this evening. I pray to God you understand what I'm saying this evening. But this stuff is getting about making me sick. I'm going to be honest with you tonight as a pastor. Somebody, and it's not in this church, it's from somebody back. Somebody sent something out about, and it's just like, come on, man, come on, come on. This is not what the church is about. The church is not about trying to tear down Joe Biden. You want to get a preacher? You want to get this preacher mad? Right here. You give me that in Scripture. Actually, the Bible says to pray for those in. But anyways, they sent out this thing about all this stuff about Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden and how all the divorces with his marriages and how he done all this stuff. Basically pouring all the dirt out supposedly on Joe Biden. And like Trump's any better. Oh, he married a Playboy model that posed in nude for magazines. Brethren, I'm not playing games. Trump's not the savior either. And Trump, listen, 30 years ago or 20 years ago, Christians would have nothing to do with him 20, 30 years ago. Brethren, I'm not getting into a political outrage this evening, but the church isn't entangled with the affairs of this life. What does that verse mean? If you're warring and you're a soldier for Jesus Christ, Paul says to Timothy, he says, no man at war entangled himself with the affairs of this life. We're too caught up in politics rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're too worried about what's going on out there rather than what's occurring in our own lives. Brother, you sent that thing out the other day, Brother Glenn, about that. And this is what the Lord just like pops out of the head of me in this. Brother Glenn sent out an email about how, and it's true because we did some research to find out, and it is true. Some elementary school or some school somewhere are now allowing, as an after-school program, some Satan of temple of Satan or something to come in to do a program with the kids. All right, talking about humanism and all this stuff and non-religion stuff, but they're allowing it to come in because they allow the good news clubs to come in as well that propagate the gospel, and it's all voluntary for the students. The students aren't made to go to it. The students choose to sign up for it and attend it. Well, we throw an outrage of how could it get to this point to where the temple of Satan will be allowed to come in and offer programs to our schools, yet we'll let our kids watch Frozen. And there's witchcraft in that, and you're bringing it in your own house. Brethren, I'm telling you, the church is blinded to what is going on right in front of their faces. She casts spells in that movie. That's witchcraft, that's sorcery, that's Satanism. And we allow it to come right in our homes, yet if something's put up in a school, we throw a fit. When we're allowing it in our very homes. do some research on a Disney movie, Fantasia, and see how much witchcraft is on up in that thing. You know, and one of those songs there, and I did some research, and I don't have it printed out tonight, because I was looking into it. Some of those songs played in that movie, Fantasia, the Disney movie. Disney, or Mickey Mouse is flying around with a sorcerer's hat on, but it's innocent. It won't hurt you. We wonder why we have depression. We wonder why we have anxiety. We wonder why the church has lost its power, why we pray nothing happens, why you only have 20 people in a Wednesday night service. Some churches don't even have Wednesday nights no more. They just have a church on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and no Sunday. Why? Because we've turned our backs on God. And we're more concerned about, we're conformed to this world and we don't even realize it. We're like the frog, the proverbial frog in the water, and the temperature's being turned up. We don't even realize we're being boiled by the enemy. But it's innocent. It's not innocent. The devil knows exactly what he's doing. If you're watching stuff with sorcery or witchcraft in it, you need to get it out of your house. If there's witchcraft, you know what? Mary Poppins, not innocent. That's witchcraft. She floats. And I can go through a bunch of stuff with that movie as well. But it's innocent. It's innocent. It's a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Make it look innocent. Make it look nice. Make it look friendly. Let the witch have long blonde hair and a smile on her face and a pretty dress on. And you know when it creeped in? Wizard of Oz. Another one. There's a good witch and defeats the wicked witch. Brethren, do you see how this thing creeps into where we're at today and what's going on? We wonder how we get transgenderism and we wonder how these things, how do we get to this point? Because it started 80 years ago. And we thought what was innocent 80 years ago is now crept into the churches. I'll give you another thing here, brethren, why I'm on this roll. Lucille Ball. I wouldn't give you a dime for her. Watch how she treats her husband in some of those shows. Watch it. Next time you watch it, watch how she treats her husband. She's a rebel. She's not submissive. She's not a good example of a biblical woman, a godly woman. But we look at it as innocent. Brother, I'm surprised sometimes. I ain't got a television, but sometimes kids will watch some of the things that I grew up with. And I'm like, I watched that? Andy Griffith, another one. I like Andy Griffith. I watch it. But watch some of the sneaky things in there that the devil puts in there and you don't even realize it's happening. Like lying is okay. See, some of you give me strange faces. Next time, pay attention. Or he'll look over things that are wrong. We'll just the ends justify the means and everything will be okay in the end as long as you lie, but it comes out good in the end, that lie is okay. No, it's not okay to lie. It's never okay to lie. Liars are one of the ones listed there in Revelation, cast into the lake of fire. We take it as, well, it's comedy. So we'll just accept it. Brother, I don't know why I've gone on this road. But I'm telling you, we've been blinded. We've been blinded. We've been blinded to things going on right in front of us. And what preacher in the world would preach against Griffith? He's innocent. Or is he? I'm not saying that Andy Griffith is other. I'm just saying that little things creep in little by little by little by little till you get where you're at to today. The devil's a master. He knows what he's doing. And he knows that he couldn't put on what he's putting on today 30 years ago. But he can do it today. You couldn't pour out some of the stuff you're pouring out today in society and entertainment. You couldn't have done that 20 years ago. But you can do it today. Well, how can you do it today? Because of the past. Now, I'm not saying to go out here today and burn every Andy Griffith episode you might got. Every once in a while, I'll watch them. What I'm saying is you got to be careful and you got to watch. You got to watch. You got to watch that it doesn't start affecting how you think. What you should allow to help affect how you think is the Word of God. Is the Word of God, is the Word of God, is the Word of God. Why, brethren? Because as your preacher, I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, I don't know what this year holds, but I know this one thing, we cannot keep going on like we're going on as a country and nothing happen. And it's my job as your pastor to get your minds ready, to get your hearts ready. I don't know what the future holds, but if something starts coming down this pipeline that's not good, I want us to have the closest walk we can have with the Lord when that thing hits. And not try to play catch up when it's hitting us. We'll already be there and be strong in the Lord and our minds girded up with the truths contained in the gospel to where we're not pulled away with the tidal wave that I believe is getting ready to come in and sweep this country. Gird up the loins of your mind. No man at warreth. Well, I guess if you're not in the war, you ain't got a concern about it. But if you're in the war, Paul says, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't let this life bring you down and entangle you with the news you hear. Stay close to Jesus Christ. Couple that with Hebrews chapter 13. Take your Bible, look over there real quick. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 12. Hebrews 13, look at verse number 12. Look what the Bible says here. Hebrews 13, 12. This is talking about Jesus now. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Look what it says next. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Look what it says, verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You see our minds as we gird up the loins of our minds, as we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, as we're not entangled with the affairs of this life, it helps our mind. And then if we're willing to seek a city that is not here, forsake the cities that are here, follow after what is ahead of us, take your Bible, look over at Hebrews 11, and look at verse number 10. Goes right along with chapter 13. Look at verse 10, chapter 11 of Hebrews. Talking about Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jump down to verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Are you persuaded this evening of the promises contained in God's word? That there's a new Jerusalem someday going to come down out of that sky up there and it's going to be set down upon a new heaven and a new earth? Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded tonight to pass the sojourning of your time here in fear? Realizing that soon, very soon, we might be standing before our Savior. Are you persuaded of that? Are you persuaded that Jesus could come back at any moment? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord came back and found us about His business? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord came back and found us in earnest prayer rather than watching a TV show? Not saying that you can never watch something. I'm not saying that. But wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord came back, found us, He found us doing something for Him? Not conformed to this world, looking for a city. Look at being persuaded of them. And look what, not only were they persuaded of them and embraced them. And look what they confessed. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They were persuaded. Not only were they persuaded of it, they embraced it. They embraced what they saw and the promises of God. They embraced it and then they confessed to this world that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I don't fit in. None of us should fit in if we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. People ought to look at us weird. You're going to church on Wednesday night? You're weird. Yes, because I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm not worried about what's going on in my government right now. I'm not going to get entangled with the affairs of this life. I want to get entangled with the affairs of Jesus Christ and what His perfect will is for my life, to not only for me to do His perfect will, but then also for Him to work through me to try to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. You know, our actions show others what we put the emphasis on. Our actions show others what we deem to be important. You come to church on a Wednesday night, you're showing those that are watching you that you put any importance on Jesus Christ and coming to church. People notice that. People see that. And people recognize that. That there's a difference there. Lastly, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Look what the Bible says here, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Here's that word again. It goes along with the other words that we were looking at in the other passages of Scripture. For our conversation is in heaven. For our conversation is in heaven. From hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. For our conversation is in heaven. Flip over two pages to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. It's 3 verse 1. If ye be risen, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God, children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But look what also He asked us to put off. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man. Here's food in the knowledge after the image that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And look what happens, verse 3. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. The peace of God, putting off things, mortifying some things. And then once you put these things off and mortify these things, then you need to start putting stuff on. Or else that's a form of spiritual perversion. You put off, but then you'll also have to put on. Brethren, I'm about to close up here. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. I try to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And we're going to look at next week, Lord willing, what he's wanting to remember. We read in the first part of 2 Peter that individuals can forget certain things. Why? Because they've gone more the way of the world rather than having a biblical mind, they've had a worldly mind. Their mind's been conformed to the world rather than being conformed to the scriptures and the will of God. Brethren, I ask you this evening, and I try to put the same thing, practice what I preach. But let us definitely take heed and watch what we put in our eye gate and what we allow to come in our ear gate. It may just, some things you may just have to set off to the side because it may be what's causing some of your problems and issues that you're struggling with. I don't know what you watch. I don't know what you listen to. I don't know what you see. I have no idea, nor is it any of my business. But what I would like you to do is what you do watch, what you do see, does it line up with what the Bible says you ought to be spending your time with? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is just, whatever is good, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let the devil trick you. It may seem innocent, but is it really innocent? Or does it have an agenda behind it? Does it have an agenda behind it? I've said this before. Some things may just vex us because we've been saved longer. We know what the Bible says, and it's just a little bit vexing to us. But what might be vexing to us might be damnable to someone else. And what we think may be our right, just our right, and I can handle it, may cause someone that's watching us fall into a pit that they can never get out of. Well, grandma does it. Well, grandpa does it. Well, dad does it. Well, mom watches it. Dad listens to it, so it must be okay for me to listen to it. And they might listen to that, but then they might take it a step further than you would have taken it or listen to things that they ought not to be listening to. Because dad started them out on something. Brethren, these are serious matters with God. You know what another serious matter with God is? Taking his name in vain. A lot of Christians don't even realize that they watch things, they take part in things that take the very name of God in vain. If an individual says, "Oh my God," that's taking God's name in vain. Or the word "geez," that's a euphemism for Jesus. Brethren, there's a lot of things we don't even realize we're doing them, and it's an offense to God. Or we watch individuals on TV shows, "Oh my God," or other words, "gee this" and "Jesus," and we just let it pass on by. God won't let it pass by. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of God in vain. So let's be careful what we watch, what we see, what we hear. Some of it you can't control, but what you can, ask God to give you wisdom and guidance, and ask the Lord to show you and help you to gird up your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Do you have a renewed mind? A renewed mind, a transformed mind, a mind that is like the mind of Christ? Or are you entangled with the affairs of this life? Only you can answer that question. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Lord, it ain't my intention this evening, dear God, to bash all these things, dear Lord. That's not my intention. God, my intention as a pastor, dear God, is for us to examine, to look at, to take inventory of things that we allow to take place in our life. God, I pray you to help me with it. Lord, there's been times in my own life, dear God, I've overlooked things because I just am tired and I just want to veg out. God, help me not to do that, Lord. Help me not to do it, dear God. Help me to always be a good soldier. And Lord, I pray you'd help these precious brethren with the same thing, dear God. I know there's times we're tired and we just want to sit down and do nothing. But Lord, help us to be careful what we sit down and do nothing with. Lord, that it wouldn't be an offense to you. Lord, it would be something that would be pleasing in your sight. God, help this church. Help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Help us not to be tricked by the enemy to fall into his snares and his traps, Lord. But help us to walk with you according to your word. And we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.